It's good to be back here. I was told that some teams have went on mission trips to Osaka, Cebu, and other places. Now, to the team that was about to go to East Timor but got cancer, where are you? Can you just wave your hand? All right. I want to tell you something that as I was praying just now, I'm reminded to remind the team that while your flights are cancelled, your mission is not cancelled. Amen? All right. Tell that to your neighbor. The mission is not cancelled. That's right. Oh, you're doing much better now. All right. You're making me nervous. Now, tonight, I really was preparing a message that Pastor Peter was telling me to prepare way back about evangelism. But as I was preparing the message, I felt in my heart there was something that the Lord wanted to speak to you. And I hope that tonight as we turn to the Word of God and just turn to God, He will encourage us. Because all of us need an infilling. Say infilling. Before we can pour out to others. Amen. Alright. Shall we pray again? And just ask the Holy Spirit just come and touch us. Father, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray that Lord, You will begin to pour into our hearts right now. God, I pray against every doubt. I pray against every tiredness. I pray against everything that's stopping us to receive the best from You, Lord. And tonight we want to believe that God, as You pour into us, something good is going to happen. And Lord, as You pour into us, Lord, we can do nothing else but to let it flow out of us. So we want to believe in this, and we want to believe that out of tonight, something wonderful will stir in our spirit that will propel us to go out to reach out to the lost. In Jesus' name we say, Amen. Now tonight, I have a word that I kind of want to tell you, and the word is overflow. Is it up there? Overflow. Say, overflow! What will overflow? I believe that every Christian must have something that will flow out, right? In fact, I don't know about you, but have you met Christians that look really grumpy? Turn to your neighbor and see whether that's the Christian. Okay? Have you seen Christians that are always complaining? Don't tell me who. Okay? Don't tell Pastor Peter. But have you also seen Christians that are super duper excited? Like, whoa, they are always excited. Like when you take a needle and poke them, like joy and excitement will flow out. Now, that is the picture I have of overflowing, right? Everybody has something. If you have joy in you, it should come out, right? If you have, like, love in you, it should come out. And tonight, I want to talk about love overflows. And as Christians, I believe that every Christian should have love flowing out of us no matter where we go, yeah? Whether it's a good day or a bad day, love should always flow out of us. In fact, Jesus said this when He was standing at a synagogue, and He said, those who are thirsty, come on, those who are hungry, those who are thirsty, you are thirsting for God. Those who are thirsty, He says that whoever believes in Me, Scripture has said that rivers of living water will flow out from your belly, from you. Come on. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you got to be excited. I'm looking at not very excited people here. You got to help me out here, man. You got to tell me that you're not pagan tonight. Turn to your neighbor and shake him a bit, or shake her a bit, and say, you got to be excited. Now, to me, overflowing is this. When you are full of something, another drop of it will make it overflow, right? So, well, it's the same thing, not just to joy, but also to negativity. Meaning to say, if you're full of bitterness, guess what is going to come out? If you're full of complaint, guess what is going to come out, right? And I look at Amanda. Where's Amanda? Amanda is leading the worship. It was amazing. You got a great worship team. And I think of her, like, she got so much of songs in her that if you touch her, you know, she's going to sing to you. And probably when she's upset, she's going to sing all the time. That's a picture I have of Amanda. I have one of our staff. His name is John. He is a really passionate guy. He's not just passionate about soccer, but he's passionate about God. So when you touch him, you know, he's just always on fire. I've got another one. He's really loud. His name is Wen Qi. Okay, don't tell him that I said it here. And he's always loud, but he's always bringing laughter everywhere he goes. So what you're full of is going to spill out, right? Some of you, your mom is going to spill out something if you don't clear your underwear that you have just thrown out on the floor, or you're not going to do your homework. You know that, right? Don't give me that. I don't know what you're talking about. Look, you think of your mom, you think of your dad. I'm a father of three children, and I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I look at my wife, she is so full, just going to tip over if my daughter is not going to do the homework or not going to do whatever she's going to say. No, it's going to spill out. Now, tonight, we want to remember that as Christians, before we even go out, now things will spill out of us if we're not careful. And if it is good things, praise the Lord. If it is bad things, then we got to empty it out so that the Holy Spirit can pour in something wonderful. Can you say amen to that? Thank you. Now, there was a story of this little girl who was asking the mom, "Mommy, you have often said we pray to Jesus, but I cannot find Jesus." Have you feel like that before? You know, I can't find Jesus. Jesus is like playing hide and seek with me. And so the mom say, "Well, you can always pray to Jesus because you ask Jesus to come into your heart. So where is Jesus?" "Jesus is in your heart." And so the little girl got afraid and turned to the mom, "Are you serious?" And the mom say, "Yes, but my heart is so small. If Jesus, who created the whole universe, is inside my heart, what is going to happen? It's going to explode out." And as hilarious as her thinking is, now you must remember, it is something that she said that is actually a spiritual truth. Yeah. If Jesus is so much in our little heart, it's going to spill out. It just cannot, your heart just cannot contain Jesus, right? Because when the Spirit of God comes into you, it's going to spill out. And this is what overflow looks like. This is what we are talking about. We are talking about like squeezing your toothpaste in the morning. If it is full of toothpaste, it's going to be easy to squeeze out, right? Do you brush your teeth in the morning? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Now, have you come to the stage on the second picture where no matter how you squeeze, there's nothing coming out, right? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you that are sitting here, you feel like the second picture. You have got nothing inside you. No matter how many times you're going to squeeze out, "I am just not going to do it." Your leader comes to you and say, "Can you be an usher?" "No, I'm not going to be an usher." "Can you help me to serve this?" "No, I'm very busy." Why? Because you've got nothing in you. And tonight, we need to understand love must overflow. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Love must overflow." Someone says this, if we truly understand the love of God, we are more ready to share the love of God. There was a story of this couple that has been married for 50 years. Some of you may have heard this story, but anyway, I'm going to say it. And this couple was celebrating their 50th anniversary. All right? And in their 50 years, they had never had an argument with one another. Amazing, right? You know, like, tell me the secret. Every day I'm going to have an argument. So they had never an argument. So somebody came to them and said, "Can you tell us the secret of your success?" So the husband said, "Wow, that's easy, because it was the day when we just got married and we are leaving for a honeymoon." In those days, they were riding horses. So he said that while we were leaving the church, we got up the horse, and while my horse was moving, my wife's horse did not move. So she came down and started scolding the horse. And he said, "Horsey, I warned you, you better start moving when I tell you to, all right? That's my first warning to you." So she went up, get up on the horse again, and then kicked the horse, but the horse didn't move. She came down, turned to the horse and said, "Horsey, I'm getting angry now. This is the second warning." And then went up again, kicked the horse, and yet the horse did not move. She came down and she said, "Horse, this is the third warning." She went to the purse, took out a pistol, bam! Killed the horse. The husband was horrified. turned to the wife, the newly wedded wife, and said, "Why do you do that? You know, you can't talk to the horse didn't understand you." And the wife turned to him and said, "This is the first warning." And he said, from that day onward, I never dared to have an argument with her. Now, relationships that's not built on love actually don't last. This is just a funny story. But you know, a lot of people in church today, they are coming to church because they are forced to come to church. Now, you need to know that young people, that God do not have grandchildren. All right, turn to your neighbor and say, God do not have grandchildren. So if your parents are here in church and that's why you are here, now I need you to know that you need to have a relationship with God. God do not have grandchildren. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Coming to church doesn't make you godly. Just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a hamburger. All right? You can come to church all you want. If there is something that you got to do, something you got to repent, something you got to participate, something you got to engage, you come to church and you engage with God. You understand what I'm saying to you? Church is not a place where we come here and you hear me for 45 minutes and that's it. Or we raise our hand and sing a few songs. Church is about encountering with God. And this is what church is all about. And if you are not flowing, not having love flowing out of you, you got to ask the question, why? Why am I not so happy? Why am I, you know, feeling frustrated? I just felt that, you know, Kuz Youth has always been the cutting edge for evangelism. Kuz Youths have always been the one that go out to different places for mission. And it should not stop. Amen. And I'm so happy when I come here, I'm hearing teams going out. But you guys must be excited that we need to continue to do the local missions here, yeah? What is motivating you? Is it the love of Jesus Christ? Or is it your parents? Is it because your cell leader has called you for the last 3 weeks and that's why you're in church tonight? No! The Bible says this. Paul says to the church, if we are out of our mind, as some say it is for God. If we are in the right mind, well, it is for you so that I can speak sense to you. Oh, that's my own version. Oh, yeah, just add that as a commentary for you. And then it says this, for Christ's love compels us. It is the love of Christ. It is so much of Jesus inside me that I want it to flow out. It is so much of Jesus inside Pastor Peter, Pastor Christina, and also Samuel, that when they come out here, and even Amanda, they want you to know to engage with Jesus. And I want you to know that tonight, if your relationship with Jesus Christ is not right, if some of you are struggling to engage with God, if you are asking the question, God, where are you all the time? Then you got to come to God and say, Lord, I need you. You got to restore that relationship because right relationship with God will bring out the right relationship with others. You think about the mess up relationships you have. Well, think about the time when you stop praying, when you stop reading the Word of God. It's probably those times that you messed up. Because if you have got a right relationship with God, it's so easy because you will never hold on to a lot of bitterness. You are so full of love that it spills out. Amen? And that's what overflowing life is all about. It's about having a right relationship with God. In fact, for those of you who are searching for God, you know, God is not out there hiding somewhere. I have an illustration of me playing with Caleb. I have this youngest son. His name is Caleb. He just turned 6. Going to be 7 next year. But when he was younger, we loved to play hide and seek. And it's fun to play hide and seek with my son because you will always know where he's hiding. Because when you're coming near, he'll be giggling and and he'll be, you know, holding there. And I always say this, oh, Caleb, you're such a good hider, right? You're so good at hiding. And you can see his bum sticking out of the, you know, behind the curtain. And I say, oh, where is Caleb? Where is Caleb? And before you know it, he will jump out and say, Daddy, I'm here. And I will hug him and I say, wow, you're so good at hiding. Now, Daddy is going to hide and you're going to look for me. Now, can you think about just that picture for a while? Where do you think I'm going to hide? Am I going to hide like in the storeroom or somewhere secretive? Because the 4-year-old at that point in time will not be able to find me, right? So where do I hide? I hide like under the table like this. And I hide somewhere where it is obvious. And when Caleb come and look for me after counting to 20, he will be like, "Where is Daddy?" And even when I'm so obvious, waiting, "I'm here. Me, I'm here." Like, "Here." And he'll be like, "Where is Daddy? Where is Daddy?" And he said, "Oh, Daddy, you're here." And that's exactly the picture I have for you. For those of you who are struggling to find where God is saying that, "You know what? I'm here. I'm here waiting for you to look for me. I'm here right here. Wherever you are, I will be with you. Whether you are in darkness or in light, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Come on, guys. Amanda just read the passage on Psalms 139. That's a wonderful passage, my favorite. You know, whether you ascend to heaven or to hell, God says, "I will never leave you. I will always hold your hand." And that's why your relationship with God is the most important relationship. But yet, sadly, it's not just Singapore, but, you know, many different places. Christianity are going downhill. 80% of Christian young adults will be disengaged when they turn 29. The graph is obvious. And Wayne Cordero says this, "Sometimes we can be so discouraged to the point that we will jump down on our own." Tonight, even right now, some of you are feeling so far away from God, so disengaged and so discouraged that the devil don't even need to tell you anything. You will be willing to stop, to jump, or to quit. The Bible says this, while we know that Christians must have love flowing out, it says this in Matthew 24:11-13. Can we read that together out loud? Ready? Go. "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Now the opposite of love is not hate. Listen to me. If you still hate someone, well, at least you still have some emotion for that. Praise God. The opposite of love is indifferent. And if you are indifferent to your parents or the people that you are supposed to love, then, well, come back to God. The Bible says this, that the reason why lawlessness is rising in the nation, is rising in society, is because the love of many, many Christians, many believers, many disciples are growing cold. But those who endure to the end, they will be saved. Praise Jesus that we have some who are enduring. We have some who are sticking on. They are faithful. I see some of you here that I've seen the last time I come to preach. Praise God. Endure to the end. Be faithful. But what happens if your love grow cold? You know, recently I just celebrated my 17th year anniversary. Woo! Come on. You are so encouraging. Now, just before we celebrated our anniversary, my wife came to me one day when I had just finished ministry, and it was on Monday, and she came to me and she held my hand really excited and say, "Dear." Okay, in Singlish, "Still got feeling or not?" I look at her. Now, I was thinking in my mind like, wow, this question is quite suspicious. So when your wife asks you this kind of thing, you got to think twice. So I was really tired and I was exhausted. I could have said something better and say, "Oh, of course, you know," I was about to say that. Like, "You know, I always have feeling for you, my dear." And then the Holy Spirit convicted me not to lie. So I turned to her and I say, "Wow, you know, I love you, but, you know, holding hands is just holding hands." And she turned to me and said, "But I still got that feeling like the day when we first held hands." I said, "Really? Wow." And I mean, today I would say a different thing. You know, I thought about it. And I said, the next time she asked me this, I would say that, "You know, I don't have feeling now, but I'm going to hold hands until the feeling comes back." Oh, that's a good one, right? Right, Samuel, you got to remember that. But glorious, that's so much. Well, when I was thinking about that, I was also thinking about our spiritual life with God. You know, some of us come to our leaders, or even some leaders will come to the pastor and says this, and you will say, you know, I'm feeling tired, you know, I just don't feel it anymore. What do you mean you don't feel it anymore? If my wife come to me and said this, and I said, you know, I don't feel it anymore, you know, from today onwards, let's stop holding hands for 3 months. Shall we do that? Will you do that? Will you say that? No, of course not, right? In fact, you will be saying, well, I gotta get that feeling back in me, right? But a lot of times when we are serving God, we don't say that. You know, we feel dried up, we feel far away, and we say, you know what, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I should just quit. I should just stop serving God so that, you know, I won't be a hypocrite. Come on, man. If I tell that to my wife and say, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I stop holding hand with you for 3 months to 6 months. Shall we do that? How do you think the feeling is going to come back? How in the world is not holding hand going to help me to get the feeling of holding hand back? You understand what I'm talking about? And sometimes you got to be faithful to the point that when you do it until the feeling comes back to you. Amen? Well, that's a very weak amen. But I know you got it, right? You got it inside you because you are thinking and you are knowing it in here. And so we need to remember, we need to rekindle our first love. When John was banished to Patmos. Now the Bible says this in verse 10, in the Lord's day, he saw the Lord. Now I want you to think about this. If John is banished in this island, stranded in this island in a cave, how does he know it is the Lord's day? How does he know? He's probably counting, right? You know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Whoa, church! And then he's going to spend time doing church. And he says that it is the Lord's Day. It was at the Lord's Day, on the Lord's Day. And he continued to meet in his cave, probably. I don't know with other prisoners or not, but I just know that he has never stopped going church. Yeah? Church is not just going to a building, to this venue. Church is about coming together, meeting God. And on that day, he met the Lord, and the Lord says this. He gave him a word, and it is to seven churches. And tonight, I felt in my spirit that I need to deposit this word to you. And this is the church that has done a lot of things, but has lost something that is quite crucial to them. And in Revelation 2, verse 1 to 5, we're going to read this together. Starting now, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. And have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Praise God. Praise God that when he looked at Church of Our Savior, look at you, he said, I know your hard work. I know that you have been faithful. I know that you have given and sacrificed many things for me. I know that you have tested those false prophets. You have kicked them out. I know that you have done. God knows all the things that we have been doing. And he says this, you have persevered and endured hardship for my name, and you have not grown weary. Come on, man. That's an A-star church, right? The church of Ephesus. Let's give them a round of applause. I know that you're just doing it because I'm asking you to do that, but never mind. You know, when you get excited, when you read that, you say, wow, I really want to celebrate with them and think that this is a fantastic church. And yet, in verse 4, the Bible says this, Jesus tells this to John and say, John, look, and yet for the church in Ephesus, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. You can do all the things that show yourself to be faithful. But the Bible says this, yet if you have lost that first love, you have forsaken the love of Jesus Christ, it will never flow out of you. Amen. when you have lost something, that feeling of desiring to come to church every day, you have lost something that is so important and so vital to your Christian life. And so today you must remember your first love. You got to remember. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to remember. Remember your first love. Remember when was the time that you were saved. Remember the time when you went to youth camp and you were touched by the Spirit of God. Now this is a picture of my house. This is not done by me. It was done by one of the youth. They have this, they celebrate this couple relationship. I was doing their premarital counseling, and this is from Nicholas and Michelle. They come to my place every week. And so one of the days, it just happened to be the day where they celebrate their monthsary. Do you have that? Like, do you know what I'm talking about? You will know what I'm talking about, right? Every month you will celebrate all the day when we got together, you know? And I was looking at him and I say, well, what do you want to do? He said, oh no, I'm going to come out and I want to fix this lights and that, and it is a hard shit. And he got my whole family involved. When Michelle is coming near, you have to switch off the lights. And then my children are so excited, you know, they were running and say, ah, it's coming, coming, coming. And I played some nice music. And then when Michelle comes, oh, we turn on the lights and say, hey, Michelle! And I didn't even know how to congratulate. Happy 7 or 6 months of coming together! Yay! And we are so excited. And then that's it. And so after the training, right, they left. And I turned to my wife and say, wow, you see, these guys do amazing things, huh? They have this heart-shaped thing and all. And my wife turned to me and said, yeah, you don't even do such thing to me last time. Wow, jialat. I was about to text him, you see that spoil market. Then suddenly I remember, you know, the Spirit of God's joke memory inside me. And I say, oh, you know, we in our house, right, we have this little copper box that we collected and we kept all our little nice notes to one another. He said, oh, you know, look at the picture on the left. Those are the cards that I gave. He said, every month I wrote you a card. You can count. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, every month we celebrate the monthsary and we were so in love. And look at the cards that you gave to me. And you can tell that, you know, after 6 months, I pontek already. So, cannot continue. So once a year is good enough, like, actually, to me. But anyway, I was telling her, like, you know, this is what we have been doing. Remember the day when we were so in love that we will want to do any. Remember the time when you go out with me. Remember this is like in 1999 when we first met and we went on a trip together to climb Mount Ophir, and this is in 2017. Like, we don't change much, right? Right, and I told her, remember the Mount Ophir trip. You take out the pictures and you recollect all the beautiful memories. And I say, oh yeah, remember the day when you were trying to climb this and then you fell down. And we were remembering those memories. It was wonderful. It was good. And guys, sometimes you need to remember how the Lord was with you. Remember how the Lord has called you. Remember how the Lord has spoken to you. Remember your first love. When Peter was struggling and he was running away, he was going fishing and forgetting his call, you know what Jesus did? Jesus did the same thing that he did at first. If you look at Luke chapter 5, Jesus was coming to Peter and they were fishing the whole night and they couldn't catch anything. They couldn't. But when Jesus said, put your net on the other side, they caught something and Peter fell down on his knees and said, whoa, I'm a sinner. That was the time when Jesus called Peter. But when Peter has left the call, went back fishing, this is exactly what Jesus did. Isn't it amazing that God will never leave you nor forsake you? In fact, He will always bring the same things back so that you will remember. I remember the time when I accepted Christ. I remember the time when I was invited to this Christian camp. In fact, I was from a non-Christian family. I was from a non-Christian family. Thank God my parents are safe now. I couldn't go to church. I was a community kid. I was invited by this teacher. And this teacher brought me to a camp. In fact, I couldn't even enter a church because my parents said this. My father said, if you go to church, you will never be allowed to come back here again. So I was terrified. I couldn't really boldly go to a church. But when I was young, I was invited to this camp, the Scripture Union camp. And the theme of this camp was Jesus Cares. And in that camp, I was so touched by this song. And the song says there may be times when you feel nobody cares for you. There may be times when you feel that no one could understand. There may be times when you cannot count on friends to say that they would be your friend. But there is someone who is holding out his hand. And this is Jesus. Jesus who cares. J-E-S-U-S-C-A-R-E-S. Yes, Jesus cares. I could have sing it, but I think I'll be out of tune, so I'd rather not. And the chorus just go, J-E-S-U-S-C-A-R-E-S, yes, Jesus can. And I was singing in the camp with tears flowing down and thinking like, finally, I have a true friend, true friend. And from that day onwards, I have never let him go. And when I was preparing this message, I was thinking of the times when I was feeling tired and I remember. Then I remember my teacher who actually spoke to me. In fact, this teacher, I couldn't remember her name. And when I was looking for the photo, I found a picture of my teacher. Her name is Miss Susan Goh. Until today, it's still Miss Susan Goh. But I've always thought that she's Miss Tan. So I've been telling people, you know, Miss Tan was very brave. She was the one that spoke to me about the gospel until I found out that it's actually Miss Goh. Not really Miss Tan, all right? How do I know? Because I've lost contact with her and I thought that I would never meet her again. Maybe until when we go back to heaven. So after I preached this message, someone told me this. Why don't you put her picture up on Facebook? I say, okay, I'll try. I put it on Facebook. And really, someone actually know her. She's not on Facebook. And in fact, it was a neighbor. So she's Pauline's mother neighbor. Pauline is actually one of our colleagues in Church of Our Savior. It was so amazing. Pauline called me and said, hey, I think I know her, no? Because she brought my mom to church. And so after 32 years, we met up recently. I don't know how old is she, but you know, that's her. And when I was talking to her, she was saying that, you know, I really cannot remember who you are. In fact, I don't even know your name. I don't know who you are. I have no collection of this student at all, you know. So I must be a good boy because all the teachers always remember the bad ones. So I pride myself as the good boy. But I told her this. I said that, you know, you have been sharing with us. And she said, yeah, those days we couldn't share the gospel in the campus, in the school. In fact, someone complained about her. And so she brought the students to pursue just at the back of the school. And I remember those days when I was asked to stay back for story time. She would ask us to come into the classroom and she would lock all the doors, close the window. I was like, why must she do that? And now I remember, I know that now because she said that she was persecuted then, but she faithfully shared the gospel. And I said that because of you. In fact, you didn't really lead us to Christ because she told us this. If you want to be a Christian, just go back home and say the sinner's prayer. And I said, what is the sinner's prayer? And she said, oh, just confess your sin. So I wrote down the sinner's prayer, went back home, and make sure my parents were not looking, went into the room, locked the door, knelt down, and then I memorized the sinner's prayer because I thought that praying, you need to close your eyes. So I just, dear Jesus. Okay, let's do that again. Dear Jesus. So I actually said the sinner's prayer quite a number of times. So I said, dear Jesus, finally I got it. I opened my eyes. Nothing happened. But you know what happened? On that day, the gospel seed was planted in my heart. On that day, the Spirit of God came into my life. But I didn't know that. There was no feeling at all. I thought I was talking to the wall. I came back out thinking that, well, does that mean I'm a Christian? And then, you know, then the camp confirmed it. I accepted Christ again in the camp. I went to another camp. I raised my hand. Every altar call, I raised my hand just to reassure myself that, you know, if, you know, God didn't hear it the first time, maybe this time He'll hear it. And I tell you, it was so amazing as I recall these things. I remember there was someone out there who deposited that. Someone risked her career for me. Someone was willing to go all out of her teaching career just to plant the seed of the gospel inside me. Why? Because she is so in love with Jesus, she just cannot cannot stop talking about Jesus. And because I really love this teacher, she believed in students. She was the only teacher that brought us out to East Coast Park. When I was young, I would look in the mirror and curse myself because I was so fat. You know, I was really fat. When I was 10 years old, my waist was about 32. You can't grab my belly because just there's so many layers, you know. You don't know which one is my belly. And the nurse used to grab my you know, the fats, and then shake it so violently like there's a tsunami coming up. And that destroyed my, you know, my self-esteem and everything. So I hated myself. I look in the mirror. My self-esteem was really low. But then I met this teacher. She was nice. She was loving. She was gentle. And she shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guys, remember? Remember when you're so excited? Remember? Some of you will probably not remember, but when you are at your lowest time, that's what happened to the prodigal son, right? When he was feeding the pigs, when he was struggling in his life, he remembered and he said this, you know, consider how far you have fallen. While the prodigal son finally woken up and say, wow, my servants, the servants in my family are getting better food. Why am I doing this? So he remembered. The second thing you need to do is to repent. The Bible says that you have forsaken the love you had at first, but consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand. I will come to you and remove your lampstand. There was another story about a couple that was married and they were really nice, but there was always this treasure box that the wife told the husband not to open, okay? And one day, when the wife was getting really sick and, you know, they were getting old and she was dying, the husband was really curious and said, you know, you have stopped me from opening up the treasure box. Can you tell me what's inside? Well, I said, okay, you can open it up. And he opened it up and saw two dolls and like $82,000. That's a lot of money. I say, well, my wife has been, you know, keeping money, saving for me. And so the husband asked the wife, so what are these for? Oh, and the wife said to the husband, you know, when we got married, my mom gave me an advice. She said that if you ever fight with your husband and you are really angry, just start sewing just do sewing. So you can sew and knit a doll. And that will cool you down. And the husband said, well, over the 50 years of our marriage, you were only angry with me twice? Two dolls, that's fantastic. So he was giving himself a pat on his shoulder and said, well done. And then he asked, so where did the money come from? And the wife said, that's the money that I made out of selling all the dolls that I made. You can go on and on and talk about, you know, how good you are. But if you have no love, guys, and your relationship with God, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3, it says that if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, can you just read out really loud the yellow color words? If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And if you want to continue to write the scripture, you can say that if you come to church early and you queue up to come to church and have not love, that's nothing. If you can, you know, there's a great violin this year and I was enjoying that, and you can play violin really nice, you can lead worship really well, you can come here and serve till nightfall, but have not love, you are nothing. The Bible says that we are nothing if we do not have love. We are nothing if love is not inside us, that's coming out from us. We are nothing if we do all the things right but miss out the most important thing. You get what I'm trying to tell you? Guys, we got to wake up. The church got to wake up. Young people, you got to wake up. If you do not have love for people, the Bible is summed up in very simple terms. It is not complicated. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. And if you are not loving people, you are not loving God. If you are loving God, you ought to love people. Guys, if love is not flowing out, we are doing things that is without love. Then all that we are doing, the beautiful likes, the videos, the people coming, is for nothing. And the Bible says this, we need to repent. Because if you do not repent, you will be like a Pharisee. I'm saying this really gentle. Because when I say this in my service, it is not in this tone. People who know the Word of God really well, who've got all this knowledge, you can exegete, you can interpret, you can know the Greek word, you can know the Hebrew, you can know the context, and yet you do nothing. You will be like the Pharisee who is actually struggling. You see, the Pharisees are hypocrites. The reason why they're hypocrites, because they know all the laws, the 600 over laws that they have concretized. There are good things. There are good things to remind themselves. I need to fear God. I need to tithe. I need to do this. But yet, at the call of their being, they struggle. They struggle to love God. They struggle to love people. And that's why they become hypocrites. And today in church, we are the same. Let's not look at our neighbor. Let's look at myself. I realize that as a pastor, I can be here telling you to do it, but if I'm not loving people, if I'm not going out to reach out to the lost, if I'm not caring for those who need care for, then I am nothing. I'm only a resounding gong. I'm just here, just making sound, noise. And if you are doing that, you are going through a motion. And if you're coming to church, going through the motion, forget it. Come. Meet up with Jesus. Get real with Jesus. Let His love come back in you. That was the time I was so tired, so drained out by people's problems. I was ministering to people day in, day out, and their problems start to overwhelm me so much. And I stopped reading the Bible. I was getting frustrated, feeling burnout, stopped running. And I came to God and I asked this question. I said, God, you know what? I was just full of frustration. Full of pain and discouragement, and I said, God, I am tired. Have you ever said that before? You know? I know some of you are saying this right now. But you know what happened that day? When I was saying, Lord, you know what? I'm just tired. I'm not tired of you. I'm not tired of church, but I'm just tired of all the problems. I'm tired of all the problems I cannot solve. I am tired. And then just immediately after that, the Spirit of God just came into me and spoke this to me. Am I so difficult to love? Am I so difficult to love? And at that moment, my tears start to come down and I said, Lord, no, it's not you, it's me. It's not you. You are not difficult to love. You are easy to love. It was me. And then at that moment, I realized that something has dried up inside. Guys, if tonight you are dried up inside you, you got to come back to God. Come back and refill. If you are so full of that bitterness and that frustration, empty it and come back and get a renewal of God's Spirit, renewal of God's passion. You got to renew your faith, renew that love, so that the Spirit of God can pour in spiritual passion in you. Can I hear a loud amen for this? That's right. That's the way. Come on, guys. Church is not to spectate. Church is to participate. I always tell the young people, I say, if you're coming here and you're not participating with me, you're just evaluating my sermon. You're just looking at me and say, when is he going to stop? When is he going to tell this story? No, we are here to do church together, guys. You and I, I'm worshiping God while I'm preaching my heart to you. You got to respond to God. That's worship. Amen. It's not just singing songs and raising hands, that's worship, but answering back and saying, God, I'm going to be excited for you. That's worship. Amen? You will get better at that. Now, I'm serious. This is a time where I think that you need to come out of your box and don't pretend to say that, you know, I've got it all together. No, you do not. All of us need the Spirit of God inside us so much. If you are living by the ways of man, then you will always have the fear of man. But if you are living in the ways of the kingdom, man, you have nothing to fear, nothing to prove, nothing to lose at all. You won't be thinking about, should I go for this CCA, should I come to church? There is no comparison, because when you begin to know the love of Jesus inside you, you will come back to Him. You will fall in love with Him. And this is what I did with my wife when she told me that she got a feeling when she held on to my hands and I don't. And I said, you know what, let's go dating again. And that's what we did. We went out and I said, hey, I'm getting that feeling back again. You know, spend time with God. And recently, I was feeling a bit tired again. And I told myself, oh man, I got to meet new people. I'm an evangelist at heart. So when I go out to the streets, when I go out to share the gospel on the street, I get really excited. So I sign up for this Grab Hitch, and I stop for a while. So that day I came back and said, oh, let's see whether I can hit someone. So I hitched someone, a Muslim Filipino. And throughout the whole conversation, we were just talking, and she said, oh yeah, I'm a Muslim. I said, oh, I'm a Christian, I'm worshipping in this church. I'm a youth pastor. And she kind of like just went silent. But after about 5 minutes that I was sharing, she started to tell me that the reason why she was working in Singapore, because her dad just passed away. 2 months ago, her brother just passed away. And then the whole journey, I was just hearing her pour out her pain, her struggle, and everything else. And out of that, I share my pain, I share my struggle when I was a non-Christian. And I was just sharing my life with her. Yeah, I know it is. I'm not going to be too insensitive just to tell her, you know, believe in Jesus and all those stuff, because that's not the point, isn't it? The point was just to let her talk. And after she left, I prayed for her. And I pray that, you know, God is going to minister to her, because she knows that I'm a Christian. She knows that I'm a pastor. I didn't share like the 5 points of the gospel, but I shared my life to her. I shared the joy of Jesus. And I went back to the staff meeting feeling so excited. You know why? Because I did the thing I always do. The thing I forgot I did at first. I went back to do the things that I did at first. And some of you need to go back and do the things you did at first. Not the things that you did wrong, but the things that you did right at first. With Jesus, the time that you spend with Him, worshipping, writing songs, you got to spend time with the right people, spend time with passionate people. And then finally, you got to look to Jesus. Because you know how the best way to renew your spiritual passion is to go back to the feet of Jesus. Go back to the cross. I always end my sermon with the picture of Jesus Christ, because I want it to always go back to Him. Can I invite Amanda and the worship team just to come as I close off this story? You know, tonight is the night I want you to turn your eyes to Jesus again. If you are feeling tired, run down, drained, then tonight is the night you need to come back and say, God, just give me a refuel. Renew my spiritual passion again. But if you are so full of it, praise God, continue. Infect others. Let others be part of your team to go out together. Because when we look to Jesus, this is what's going to happen. He will reveal His love for you. Remember the story when I was saying that Jesus was doing hide and seek, like the way I was doing hide and seek with my son? He's not really hiding, but He's, you know, just letting you find Him. And it's the same. And tonight, if you will come and look to Jesus, He's going to say, you know, my son, my daughter, I'm here. And the reason why we look to Him, because every time when I look to Jesus, I remember what He has done for me. I remember the day when He was hung on the cross. I remember how He bore the pain. I remember when He was whipped with a cat of nine tails. You know the story. You know the background. The whip was so brutal that they have ball bearings at every part of it, and there is a hook at the end. And why is that ball bearing? Because the Roman soldiers, they are vicious. When they whip the prisoners, when they whip Jesus, the ball bearing is going to hit the flesh, and so that you feel like, you know, you're going to have bruises. And when, you know what it means, when you have bruises, the blood will come together, and you know, and you're going to feel the pain. But at that moment when the blood is gushing together, the hook is going to hook onto the place where the ball bearing is hitting the flesh and peel out that flesh. And the blood is going to spill out. And this is exactly what they did to Jesus. They whip him at his back so hard that it is like peeling an orange skin. So hard and so bad. The reason why they were whipping him so badly, because Pilate was thinking, maybe I'll just whip him so badly that he don't have to be crucified. But he was wrong. The people were shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And then they put on a ton of the crown of thorns. When I was in Israel, I actually accidentally touched this plant. And straight away, blood stopped coming out. And this is the thorn that was being pressed onto the head of Jesus. And as I was recalling what Jesus has done for me, nobody can convince me otherwise. If you ever doubt the love of Jesus, just go back to the cross. Go back to the cross. He loves you so much that he was willing to die for you. And I remember the time when I was in Israel, we were asked to go to this place, and it was actually a place where we sat around a latrine, a toilet. It's a Roman toilet. So we sat there, and then the tour guide was telling us, you know where is this place? Oh, this is a toilet. He said, okay. He said, remember the story of Jesus when Jesus was crucified? And I said, yeah. And remember Jesus said, I thirst. Remember the part when he said, I thirst? And if you have read your Bible well enough, you remember there was a soldier that came up to him and then put a sponge and then dip on vinegar and then shove it to him, and Jesus did not drink. When I was younger, I was reading the story and thinking to myself, wow, this is a great soldier. At least, you know, Jesus was thirsty, but maybe he didn't really like vinegar, okay? It's not really nice to drink, right? But vinegar can at least wipe on the wound, you know? So I thought the soldier was doing a great thing. But when I was in Israel, I was told that this thing, this sponge that they use, was the very thing that they use in toilets. Because in those days, they do not have toilet paper. They have this sponge dipped in vinegar to disinfect them after they do their business. This is their toilet paper. Guys, are you hearing me? Young people, Jesus Christ was crucified and he said, I thirst. And there was this soldier. They went out and they went to the toilet to grab the toilet paper and shove it out to Jesus and mock at Jesus Christ. And if you think that Jesus Christ do not love you, come on, think again. He was out there. He was crucified for you and for me. And when he was bleeding, he said, I thirst. And then that was a mockery for him. But you know what? When you say, I thirst, when you say, Jesus, I am thirsty, when you cry out to God and say, Lord, I am so thirsty, Jesus says this, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink, and whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Come on, let's stand up, guys. I felt the Spirit of God is going to just touch some of you. You know what? When Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, I thirst. He was mocked. But when you say, I thirst, Jesus said, you know what? I'm going to put so much love in you that it's going to flow out. It's not even difficult to share the love of God to others when you're so full. Evangelism is caught, not taught. I mean, I've done many evangelism workshops. I've taught many people to reach out, tools. I've learned something. It's not about teaching. It's not about a workshop. It's about how full you are. It's about how full you are this Christmas. If you want to be the light, you can never not be the light, because the Bible says that you are the light. Unless you cover it up. Unless you are a secret agent in the place that God has put you in. And if you are not, right, tonight, I want you to come to God. Some of you are struggling to come back because you have come to the place where you are dried up already. And as the worship team lead us, I just pray that the Spirit of God will begin to stir in you to get a renewal. If you're not excited enough, say, God, please help me. Help me to be excited for you. Help me. It's not what the leader is telling me. The leader do not have to tell me. Let it come from my own initiative. Let it come from me. And when I'm so full of love, it's not difficult to tell people about the love of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ has done so much for you. And right now, if you're thirsty, get renewed. If you are so full, then come and be refreshed. And start praying. Start praying for those that you want to reach out to. Because this season is a season of sharing God's love. Come on, Amanda, just lead us in a song. And I want to say this, some of you are struggling because your relationship with your parents are not good, or your relationship with someone is not good. I've counseled a young teenager once, and I said this to her gently. And I said, you know, to be Christian is to forgive. I remember the day when I could not forgive, and God changed me. And so I said, to be Christian is to forgive. And the person turned to me, that 15-year-old turned to me and said, don't ever ask me to forgive him. I was like, whoa, okay. I said, but I just want you to know that if you're not going to forgive, you know what's going to happen? Bitterness is going to breed inside you. I know it's difficult to forgive. But you know what? When the love of Jesus comes, all your bitterness disappears. It is not difficult to forgive. I hated my grandmother to the point that I wanted to take a knife to stab her. And it was difficult to forgive. But the day when I forgive her, I was kneeling before her and say, Amma, please forgive me. And that was the day when all the pain, all the hurts, all the bitterness have come out. And the love of Jesus Christ came in. And to this day, I thank God that there's always a renewal when I feel dried up. And so come to Jesus, guys, and be excited for Him. Come, let's pray. Let's worship for Him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Shia da 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 da.
Into your hands, I commit again.
Thank you, Lord.
With all I am, for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hands, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I belong
to you. You're the reason that
yes,
I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, I believe
in you.
Jesus, I belong.
All of us to close our eyes right now. And if you're like me at one point of time and you're feeling tired and drained, and you say, God, you know what? I hear you. I love you. I want to honor you. But you know, I'm so drained and so worn out. God, I feel there's nothing inside. If that's you, I want you tonight just to respond to the love of God. If that's you, right across the aisles, you know, just when we sing the chorus again, I want you to respond. You know, you don't have to respond just to make it look good. You only respond when it's real, when it's directed to you. And if that's you, come on, guys, just come as we sing the chorus again. But as some of you, you probably have never encountered the love of God. You have coming to church day in, day out, faithfully, praise God. But yet you have never tasted, or you have lost that first love. You have lost that first love and you are struggling and you're doing things just going through the motion. If that's you, just come and receive the love of God, because the leader is going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe that God is going to renew our spiritual passion again. Yeah. All right. And there's also a third category. If you have never known Jesus, Some of you have come to church, but you have never committed your life to Jesus Christ. You know, at the cross, Jesus says, whatever you have in your pain, in your hurts, I'm going to do an exchange. If you're willing to come forward, I'm going to do an exchange, because Jesus says in John chapter 10 verse 10, I have come so that you may have life in abundance. Life that is abundant, abundantly good, joyful. So if that's you, you're stepping to the church maybe for a number of times, but you have not committed your life really to Jesus and ask Him to be your Lord. Or your parents are in church, you're like a grandchild in church, you've never have a direct connection with God, come, receive Jesus tonight and let the love of God come into your heart. Okay, let's sing the chorus. We're going to invite you to just come. We're going to have a time of ministry. Yeah?
Into your hands,
thank you, Lord.
I commit again. With all I am for you, Lord.
Come on, you don't have to fear. There's no one, we just closed the survey, but there's someone out there. Don't be afraid. Just come forward. Come forward in prayer. That's it. Thank you, Lord. If that's you, just come forward. We don't have much time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus, I believe.
That's you, Jesus is calling out to you. And He says, if you are thirsty, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow out of you. And that's what you want. Come forward. Come and receive the living water that God is going to pour inside you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Because if you're a leader and you feel that, you know, this message was speaking to you. I want you to not think about your own responsibilities or obligations just for this time, because your biggest responsibility is your own heart and your own walk with God. Just come to the front if you as a cell leader or a server or some other leadership position, right? Just come to the front and just respond to God as well. For those of you who are at the back, let me just say a closing prayer. Okay, then you can leave if you have to leave, but please be quiet because of the ministry that's happening at the front. Father, I thank you for such a reminder of us to not let our love grow cold. Lord, for our hearts to remember that first excitement, that first leap of joy that we had, wherever it was, at a church camp, at home, when our parents told us the good news, or whether it was a friend from school, or whether it was here at service. God, we remember that day, and Lord, we thank you. God, we say that we want to return back to your heart. Lord, that as you draw us closer, that we say yes, yes, yes. Closer and closer to you, God, we say that if our love has grown cold, God, we give you full permission to come and fill our hearts once again. Lord, if we have grown to have much bitterness in our hearts, God, we say we let go. Lord, we let go of these things that hold us, the memories of unforgiveness and sadness and rejection, Lord. God, we pray that if we feel distant tonight, and for those of us that feel very, very distant, so distant that maybe even coming to the front is too far for us, God, will a simple yes in our hearts be enough tonight? Lord, I pray that you help us not condemn ourselves, but Lord, instead encourage us that even a desire to want to love you will be something that we are okay with. God, I pray that for those of us that are feeling just on top of things, we have just come back and our love for you is growing. God, will you stir our passion, Lord, Father, for you? Will you stir it up, Lord, that it will not just remain in us, but it will overflow. Lord, that it will be an evidence to the world, Lord, that you have never seen a different Samuel, a different Elijah, a different John, a different Jonathan. Lord, that they will know that Jesus lives in us. So God, I commit everyone into your hands, Lord. Will everyone in this room move one step closer to you tonight? In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who are at the back, service is over. I will see you next week. For those of you who are at the front, continue to be ministered, alright? The altar is still open for those of you who really feel that it is you. If you are one of those that felt that the altar was too difficult to come up with everyone looking at you, now is also a good opportunity. Alright.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.